No PowerPoint tonight. Do I get a gasp of surprise from everyone I can see on the screen? I don't know what your first impression was of that psalm. When I read it on Monday, I think it was, I jotted down straight away. I found it a bit depressing. What on earth is David doing? Is he losing it, maybe? But as we know, John reminded us a couple of last week from Psalm 11, and he was under a lot of stress, in a lot of danger in his life. I've just finished reading 1 Samuel. I'm making my way through the Bible as I've shared with you before, and I got to the end of 1 Samuel this week. I couldn't believe that David still was alive. The number of times that he'd been threatened with his life. And I suppose first glance at this short psalm, straight away in verse 1, we're looking at David maybe asking God, is he there? The second half of verse 1 almost implying maybe he's not there at all. Maybe there isn't a God. And then that turns to verse 2, feeling, not surprisingly, sorrow in my heart, feeling sorry for himself. And then verse 3, almost to start with, I've got a hint that he's annoyed with God, that he's not around. And then almost in the second half of verse 3 and verse 4, maybe beginning to threaten God, that if you don't do something, I'm going to die. If you don't do something, my enemies are going to win. And maybe that will people think that you're not an everlasting, all-powerful God. But then suddenly in verse 5, David remembers that he is a God who has steadfast love. And then verse 6, a complete change around, completely out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it, probably you weren't. He suddenly trusted God. Not only trusted God, but we see him praising God as well. So as I then looked a little bit further into this and studied it a little bit closer, I think we can really split the psalm into three sections. Verses 1 and 2, we can entitle pain. Verses 3 and 4, we can entitle prayer. And verses 5 and 6, yes, you've guessed it, it's going to start with the letter P, praise. No wonder David, when he thought about calling the psalms, he spelled it with a P rather than just starting it with an S. That was a joke. It reminds me actually of the book of Job. 42 chapters, 1,000 verses approximately. And it was the same sort of book. Job started questioning God, and 1,000 verses later, everything was all right. He was praising God. And here we have a Job condensed into a mere 6 verses. So, verse 1, if you ever feel the same as David, then take heart. Because there are times in our life when we go through pain, many, many different sorts of pain. And this seemed to be a common theme with David in his Psalms earlier on. We saw that in Psalm 11. Move on to Psalm 22, verse 1, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I suspect that should ring a bell for everyone. Because take heart, our Lord uttered those same words on the cross at Calvary. So take heart that you're in good company if you are sometimes filled with such doubts. In everyday life, it's very easy, very quickly to get things out of proportion, isn't it? To flip sometimes. We went for a walk, Claire and I, down to Dunwich a few days ago, and we got caught by the bridge driving there. And blow me down, we got caught by the bridge driving back, and it was the same boat 5 hours later. How do I react with that? Well, not very much, but it was ridiculous, taking things completely out of proportion. The three-year-old screaming, "Mummy, where are you? I want you. I'm starving. I'm hungry. I want my tea." So it's very easy, just the mundane things of life, to let things get exaggerated. And it's probably a common reaction that when going through difficult times, that we may well feel the same. God, where are you? And then in verse 2, is not knowing where he is, he begins to take counsel in my soul. He begins to think probably too much, and that's often the case. That little three-year-old, no longer screaming, he's gone into a tantrum where he's kicking his arms and legs, and he won't even have tea when he's brought in to the room. All children aren't like that, Laura. You can relax. Well, most of them are. So it's very easy to let things get ahead of themselves, and before we know it, maybe we're beginning to wonder whether actually there is a God sometimes. So it's easy for us to feel the same way as David did. But of course, in this psalm, it appears that one moment David was sad, and six verses left later, however long it took Andrew to read that psalm, 30 seconds, a minute, everything was all right. But of course, as we know, as some of us know for sure, that actually doesn't happen in real life. It would be lovely if it did. But of course, David is reflecting on something that he has felt, and it's not really a time scale. We don't know how long David felt like he did in verses 1 and 2. It may have been a few minutes. It may have been days. It may have been weeks. And the pains, the traumas, the worries, the bereavements, the depression that some of us go through is something that actually just doesn't always go just like that in 30 seconds. But actually, this psalm is good news. This psalm is a vaccine. This psalm produces antibodies that can be effective when we reach times such as this. And that vaccine, those antibodies, as you guess, is prayer. David turns to prayer. And he's not praying in verse 3 to some possible deity who's out there. He's praying to someone who he knows is there. He addresses my Lord and my God, that personal address. For me, those two words, along with my Father, are in some ways probably the most astounding two words that we'll ever find anywhere in the Bible. They sum up what the gospel is all about. That Jesus' death and resurrection enables us, enables us to have a personal relationship with God, enables us, like David did, to call out, my Lord and my God, you're there. I'm praying to you, and I know that you're there. And no wonder in verse 3, when he prays that my eyes will be lit up, that suddenly I'll be happy again. My pupils will dilate. I've got a sparkle in my eyes again. There'll be colour once again in my cheeks because I have brought my pain, my anxiety, I've brought it before my God, my Father, who is a Father and a God of steadfast and everlasting love. And having done that, then David's mood completely changes in verse 5. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. I wonder if that moment of time, his mind was cast back a few years. He was a young man. He was looking after some sheep, and he came face to face with a lion. And we all know the end result. Maybe it crossed his mind, that huge 8-9 foot giant that he confronted. The story, along possibly with Daniel and the Lion's Den, would be probably the most famous story ever in Scripture that most people have probably know about. His mind was probably cast back to those and many other times when God showed his steadfast love. And just the fact that you're gathered round the screen today, and I know that, that for a fact that you have experienced that amazing miracle that God has called you to be one of his own, and enabled you to be able to address him as my God and my Father. And that, if nothing else, should remind you that when we reach out to him, that we pray to you, we have a God who really does care and wants to look after us and reach us and meet us in the need that we have. So that's why at the end of the psalm, from despair to this in just six verses, at the end, he's able to say, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The NIV translates it, I will sing for the Lord, for he has been good to me. And I quite like that translation. It's 13 words, but they're all words of one syllable. The simplicity, but the depth and the significance and the application of being able to sing, say that, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So for those of us at the moment who are at the moment feeling pain, maybe it's a pain related to being shut in. Maybe it's a pain related for you're really beginning to long for your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your good friends to be able to hug them. Maybe it's a more long-lasting pain. Maybe you still miss terribly someone that you love. Well, this psalm should be an encouragement to us, because if we're feeling pain, then we need to be like a David, trust God, and we need to pray and praise to that God who is my Father, my Father.